Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Women's Fitness. Happy New Year. Sarah Ford Bishop is here with me today, and we are going to be doing a little bit of myth busting and educating about gut health and digestion and all that good stuff. So this is going to be a good one. Sarah, you know a lot about this, I feel. So welcome back. How you doing?
It's one of my favorite topics. Thank you. I've definitely done a lot of mentorships and my own, continued education and work in the field. But yeah, my clients know like poop talk is definitely not TMI with me.
Yeah, I feel like that's good. I had some stuff that I was going to bring up about that as well, and we'll get to it. I was thinking about you've posted so much stuff about all these things. So I guess let's get started. We're going to talk about some basics, like things that everybody can do for to optimize. I think digestion and gut health. And then we're going to talk about some more specific stuff. So, where would you like to start with this? What would you say is primary?
Yeah, maybe like normal, not normal, or like signs like maybe gut health needs some love might be a good place to start.
Okay. And yeah, and what are the side effects of problems with digestion and that type of thing? I know I've heard people say like your gut is your second brain. What do you think about that? Kind of a
Yeah,
big
I mean that's interesting. So like I feel like when people say that, they're talking about like the vagus. So you have like you maybe have heard about the vagus nerve, and that's like that nerve that serves as kind of crosstalk between your brain and your gut. And we know that like some serotonin is made, in the gut, and you really are not just what you eat, but what you absorb. So when we also think about like the importance of gut health, like as a whole, like that's a lot of, kind of what it comes down to. Your immune system is closely tied to gut health. So definitely a big connection there. But yeah, as far as like the gut brain connection, that's going to be like that vagus nerve that serves as crosstalk between your brain and your gut, and definitely a big stress component with gut health and, any issues related to that or related to like fixing your gut health is working on that stress and nervous system piece, again, because of that crosstalk.
it's very much the fight or flight. And so when we are in that the parasympathetic state, right? We are not really want is that the one that's like
So parasympathetic is the rest and digest, and then sympathetic is the fight or flight. So that's going to be when you're in fight or flight, your body isn't prioritizing processes like digestion.
yeah, absolutely. And so and this goes back to even like people meditating or praying before they're going to eat is to kind of calm the body and prepare it for the food that they're about to eat so that the body is going to be able to do that. And you know, too, if you're nervous or stressed or whatever, and this could be in a moment or over days or weeks or months or years, you are chronically going to be having issues with trying to be hungry almost because your body is stressed. Yeah.
It leads to, I mean, it leads to inflammation. It can lead to, then you're either like, constipated, not going to the bathroom, or maybe loose stool, potentially like more vulnerable for, infections. I mean, I know a lot of people listening to this have physique goals like bodybuilding. I mean, if, you're bloated all the time, like that's not gonna look so hot on stage. And, too, like on the other side of that, back to like you are what you absorb. If you're not absorbing your nutrients, like, and all that protein that you're prioritizing and nutrient dense foods, it's kind of like you're not really getting, the most out of it. Then we think about like, okay, like, nutrients, minerals, vitamins, minerals are just key regulators for so many processes in the body. Think about sleep quality, metabolism, bone health, and, then that, takes a hit because your gut health is poor. So that's a little bit about kind of like why it's important. You'll see like, all diseases begin in the gut, sort of, kind of, maybe like a little bit, for some things. So
So let's go back to what we were originally saying. What are some symptoms? So bloating, constipation, indigestion, diarrhea.
Yeah, reflux, noticing like food in your stool or like just any like different color. If you look up the Bristol stool chart, that's what I always tell people to kind of go off of. You want to be like around like a 4 or a 5 on that chart, as far as like a normal bowel movement. And ideally going daily, 1 to maybe 3 times a day. If you miss a day, probably not the end of the world. I think a lot of people get like, you miss a day and it's like, okay, it's probably, doesn't mean you're broken necessarily. But that's kind of what we should be aiming for as far as consistency and schedule.
Isn't it funny how so I know you've gone through a contest prep. That's always been was like the hardest thing for me was, you have like a time that you poop like every day. And so when you upset your morning routine because of like the night before prep, maybe you didn't sleep very well, you have to get up earlier to do tanning, hair, makeup, whatever it is. And that's the day you definitely want to go to the bathroom, like for sure. So I know one of the things that you talk about too is like having a morning routine and giving yourself enough time, and not necessarily relying on stimulants like caffeine or whatever. So I don't know. Do you want to talk a little bit about what are some good things to be doing
Yeah.
for that?
I feel like the morning routine is so like underrated as far as like bowel movements. And this goes for like loose stool or constipation. A lot of times I'll talk about it in regards to constipation, but thinking about back to what we were saying about like that fight or flight. Well, if you wake up, roll out of bed, and are just stressed and like holding tension. Well, females, like a lot of times, like we hold that tension in our pelvic floor, and your body's not going to be able to relax and like signal, or you're not going to be able to recognize the signals that you need to go to the bathroom. Or you're just literally flying out of bed and not giving yourself time to go at home, so that can lead to some issues. So, I mean, the morning routine, it does not need to be elaborate. I feel like I say that all the time. Like, it does not need to be Pinterest perfect or anything like that. It's just the fact that you have a routine. I like to suggest a little bit of movement as a part of that routine. So if it's not a walk, maybe it's some stretching, walking around the house, just picking up stuff from the night before, if it's not a walk outside. And then water, hydration, like having a good like 20 ounces, 30 ounces of water first thing. I know that sounds like a lot, but you kind of get used to it once you make it a habit. And then, just like some personal time. So like, allowing yourself that time to go to the bathroom, allowing yourself that time, we were talking off air about like just being present, right? So like that time to just quiet your mind a little bit. And that again, like supports your nervous system and just lets your body know, hey, it's safe for me to chill out right now and do my normal bodily processes, right? And not diving headfirst into caffeine, not diving headfirst into work are some big things that can, support your health as a whole. But I don't think it's wrong to necessarily like use coffee to go to the bathroom. Like I think a warm liquid is generally like a good kind of stimulant for a bowel movement. So, warm lemon water, tea, stuff like that, coffee, I think is totally okay.
Cool. All right. Let's see here. So what are some things that people aren't doing to support their gut health, and what are some things that are, your things that you pinpoint first off when you'll see like people having problems?
Yeah, so chewing your food, I feel like, is one of those low-hanging fruit that we all are so guilty of not doing as thoroughly as we should. And I don't think you need to count your chews or be neurotic like that. But generally, we want to be chewing our food into a paste because when you think about it, I mean, that's step one of the digestive process. So if you're eating when you're driving, when you're stressed, or you're, working and you're just like, throwing back bites of food and not properly chewing it can lead to bloating. It can lead to, bacterial overgrowth over time because, you're not, again, like making it easy on your stomach and your, small intestines to do their job because you're just globbing down these big hunks of food. So that would be a big one. And just like really making the habit of like trying to be a little bit more present during meal times. And I know it's not realistic to say that we're always gonna like, oh, stop work and, or, say like, no family, like we're not, doing this right now. Like I'm sitting and peacefully enjoying my meal. I know that's not realistic, but like you were saying, like praying or just taking a couple deep breaths before a meal can kind of help set the tone so you are a little bit more relaxed and can remember to slow down and chew. So that's a big one. I would say variety too, like getting a good variety of nutrients in your day, a good variety of foods is another thing that people usually just get in a rut, like eating the same things, and maybe missing out on some like important things like fiber, like different fruits, different veggies. And, I feel like that's another area that you can do to kind of support just a healthy like gut microbiome, which is kind of like the balance of bacteria, beneficial bacteria in your gut, and something that we do want, for just a healthy system as a whole.
Yeah. What do there's, I don't feel like as much, but there was a huge push for about probiotics over the last like 5 years or so. And everybody was like, you got to take a probiotic. You have to take a probiotic for gut health. And now, I think there's been some further research on that. And so because probiotics are, there's so many different strains and they have so many different modalities to them. So what is your suggestion with that when people are like, well, hey, I take a probiotic or should I take a probiotic? Obviously, you have to, take a walk back into what else it is they're doing before you just add a supplement. But let's talk about supplementation a little bit and what is beneficial and what isn't.
Yeah, so probiotics, like it's one of those things where it's like sometimes I tell people like, hey, probably couldn't hurt anything but your wallet, for most people. But on the flip side of that, like there are different strains, like you were saying, and I'm gonna ask like what's going on? Like, are we looking to support general health? Like, are you experiencing digestive system symptoms? Because there's different strains, that are specific for, kind of different, issues. And we do have a good amount of studies showing them to be beneficial. And back to kind of like what happens in the gut doesn't stay in the gut. Like, thinking about like women's health, like for example, like thinking about like women that get like recurrent like yeast infections or bacterial like vaginosis, things like that. Like there's different strains of probiotics that can be helpful for that. Or, if you were struggling with loose stool or you just, had, went through a round of antibiotics, there'd be probiotics that we'd want to consider for that. You do want to spend good money on like a quality probiotic and, some strains do need to be like refrigerated, depending on like how it's manufactured. So that's also something to consider. You don't want to just go to Walmart and buy the cheapest one, is basically what I'm saying. Like you want to like, go to like, Whole Foods or Sprouts where they have the refrigerated ones, or Saccharomyces boulardii is a probiotic that I really like for like immune system health. And that one doesn't need to be refrigerated. So if you're looking for maybe some like immune system benefits, that could be a one that you might benefit from.
A lot of times, if people take a probiotic, it does promote bowel movements just because it's extra, this extra bacteria. And like you said, what happens in the gut doesn't always stay in the gut. So we don't know, it's not necessarily flourishing in your gut flora because you're pooping it out, but it might serve that purpose of, if you're having problems with constipation and you're doing all those other things, to taking a probiotic for that reason. It's not staying in your gut, but it is helping with that motility, right?
There's different websites that you can go to that kind of show you like the strains that we have, like, we've seen to have benefits for like constipation, for example. So if you're looking for like a specific, kind of reason to take one,
Yeah.
if you're struggling, so there is something called small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, where basically like you have bacteria in the small intestine that's bad bacteria that's, overgrown. And symptoms of that would be like a lot of loose stool and bloating, or a lot of constipation and gas, bloating. Very like when I say bloating, like pregnant looking bloating, But in those cases, I don't always recommend a probiotic. At least, you would want some guidance in choosing some because, again, like if you're in a situation where your bacterial levels are high, you don't want to like add fuel to the fire, so to speak. So there's kind of different, and that's like maybe a side note, but just always kind of like don't pop supplements blindly is what I, tell people.
Well, and I think as a coach and myself as a coach, when we know that things are symptoms of other things, and so it's always worth diving into what you're doing now and really being specific about it, because I've had these conversations with people even about general health things. I can't lose any weight, and you're like, well, how many steps are you taking in a day? And they're like, oh, not very many. I'm like, what is the number? Like, what are you tracking on a regular basis? Oh, I eat the same thing all the time. What are you eating? Are you tracking what you're eating? So I think it's really important to what you're identifying is symptoms of a problem that needs to be investigated further, which,
Yeah, I'm glad that you mentioned that because yeah, the first move is not, oh, I need a probiotic. It's, oh, how's my water intake been? Where's my fiber at? Like, how stressed am I? All those kind of things. Movement.
Do you think so? I've heard too that you can have too much fiber, right? This is also is an issue as well.
Yeah, I've definitely seen this with a lot of people that come to work with me, especially like from maybe a disordered eating background or people that are like big volume eaters. But yeah, there's definitely such a thing as too much fiber, and you can increase your tolerance over time, but like generally a sweet spot for most people is going to be like 25 to 40 grams ish, depending on where your calories are at. But yeah, like 50, 60 plus grams of fiber might be a little bit too much. And you also want to look at the types of fiber. So is that coming, like, are you eating a Quest bar a day? And that's giving you like 12, I don't even know how much they have now, 12 grams of fiber. Like that's very different than, a package of raspberries that would give you roughly the same amount of fiber.
Or something like pineapple, which has enzymes in it that also aid in digestion, and it's, I guess,
Right.
it's not the same
Or a
as
smoothie, like it's kind of different. Like, yeah, like you're having the fiber, but it's kind of already broken down, back to chewing. So it might affect you a little bit differently.
Yeah, I love that you mentioned that too, because people might think that's easier on your digestion, but you're eliminating the essential first step of the actual chewing portion, which is it's just how where it all begins. So yeah.
Yeah.
Smoothies are great on the run, but I think it's I don't want to say it's better to eat your food, but it's probably better to eat your food.
I think especially if you are cutting or somebody like, maybe that struggles with hunger, like it's going to be a lot more satiating to chew your food. So that's something to think about. But yeah, I think a lot of people just, to improve your gut health, like working on like just diversifying your diet with more fruits and veggies. I mean, that's how you're gonna, help with kind of getting that balance of, good bacteria kind of in a good spot, is getting, that good variety of fiber, which is what they kind of feed on, right?
What would you say then about people that are thinking about juicing or doing something like a detox or a cleanse?
Yeah, I just really don't think it's necessary for a lot of people. I think I'm all for supporting your liver 365 days a year, but that doesn't look like necessarily a juice cleanse. It looks like a variety of nutrient dense foods, and a lot of the micronutrients that you need for detoxing are actually found in animal proteins and high quality proteins. So like your B vitamins, for example, those are going to be found in protein, not juices. So just kind of really kind of being careful. Like, and if you feel like you need a cleanse, like start with, going to, a little bit over a gallon of water a day and stuff like that. And I don't think juice, like I've recommended juices to clients, especially if they are in a state where maybe they're really inflamed and like it's just easier to get down a juice, or we're like really trying to pack in the micronutrients, having some juice or intra workout, training. But yeah, juice cleanse, probably not.
That makes a lot of sense. Juice is good too for just trying to up calories when you're trying to get more calories in, because it's easy to add 150 calories to your breakfast by adding a glass of orange juice or something like that.
Yeah.
For those of you who are trying to put on weight, what do you know about the like? So let's talk a little bit about like poop position. This, have you like squatty potty? You have clients
Yeah, I
using.
got one right over there.
Okay. And one other thing that you did a post on too was like a L massage or some sort of gut massage in order to, I think, to stimulate a bowel movement or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, so okay, so the squatty potty, I think everybody should have one in their house. Like my husband thinks it's the most ridiculous thing, but it puts you in a better position to poop, right? Like it puts you like
Very
in a
primal,
better.
right? It's
Yeah.
that primal squatting position. Yes.
Yeah, and they have some that like aren't as ugly and you can fold them up, you know, so people don't see that you have one, but everybody poops, so whatever. But I think they're a great investment. And then what else did you ask me about? Oh, the massage.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that, so basically if you look it up, you basically are tracing kind of like your colon, and it just kind of helps with kind of like moving things along. You know, they'll suggest this for like kids, like babies that are like constipated.
Yeah.
You know, use some like massage oil or, you know, coconut oil, castor oil, you know, to kind of do it. But it also just helps you relax, you know, some kind of self massage, and I think that is also big. But yeah, there's a bunch of like videos on YouTube.
Very cool. Very cool. I was gonna say, what about I know one of the things that I'd always recommended in the past for clients it to take regularly anyways for the most part is magnesium, and magnesium will help with, I mean, a lot of things, but
Yeah.
digestion is one of them also, correct?
Definitely. Yeah. And you have a lot of different types of magnesium. The two most common ones that you'll see recommended are like magnesium glycinate, which is just a good, like, general magnesium that helps with mood, sleep, you know, all the things. And it's, you know, well, you know, absorbed by the body. Magnesium citrate is a form that's more specific for promoting bowel movements. It has a more laxative like effect. So I'll sometimes use that for people for some temporary relief. But I think just starting with like magnesium glycinate, because a lot of people just don't get enough magnesium, especially if you're training, you know, just our higher stress lives, like caffeine depletes you of magnesium, like all the things. So I think a magnesium supplement is safe for most people. If you start noticing like your digestion, it's like happening too fast, like then you just want to back down on the dosage. Or like I said, check the form, make sure you're not taking magnesium citrate or magnesium oxide is another one that has a more like laxative like effect.
Okay. So what are some things that can negatively affect digestion? I'm thinking of like not enough water, to like some of the things you could kind of pinpoint right away. Too much protein, not enough fiber, alcohol. Does alcohol affect the
Alcohol is a biggie, I see, because if you think about, like I was saying before, like that bad bacteria, it's like candy, right? It's just like literal candy, like feeding up that bad bacteria. So definitely if you are currently struggling with digestive issues, like no go on alcohol. You know, you'll see some people like say like gluten, you know, is not a good one for gut health. And I think it depends. I think so. You know, we have, and if you're listening on YouTube, you can maybe kind of see this visual, but we have like our intestinal, you know, lining, right? And you might have heard the term leaky gut, or it's a popular term and it kind of describes what's going on. But basically, like you have these tight junctions in your intestinal lining. And what happens is because of stress, because of food, because of all of the things, you know, our lifestyles, like those junctions kind of open up and we have little like kind of holes. So then things can leak through. And that's where people, you know, call it leaky gut, or you could call it like intestinal permeability. And that just leaves you vulnerable for things like food sensitivities, autoimmune, you know, just thinking about like just compromise like kind of health as a whole. And gluten, alcohol, like can be some of those things that impact that lining, especially if it's already vulnerable. So that is kind of something to consider. And I think like if you're just generally prioritizing a whole foods diet, you're not going to be eating a lot of gluten. And you know, the gluten that you are eating is probably coming from like maybe like sourdough bread or like whole wheat bread, like things that are like higher quality. I'm not anti-gluten. I think just I've seen a lot of people benefit from temporarily taking it out when they're working on their gut health. But other things like for me would be like and when I say these things, like it's more so like the quantities, but artificial sweeteners, chewing gum, carbonated beverages, things like that can sometimes, you know, cause some GI issues.
Do you think that the evolution of like GMOs and that type of stuff has affected how we digest and consume foods?
I personally do because what I've seen a lot is like when clients or myself, like you go to Europe and you know, you have like gluten there, like you know, in their bread products, it doesn't affect you like it would in the US. Now, this is not for celiac. Like if you have celiac and an actual like gluten like intolerance, like no go on that. But for our people that say like, you know, they can't eat pasta here, but they can eat it in Italy, like I think that's a big reason to do with it to have or big reason why. Also when you go on vacation, hopefully you're less stressed and that definitely impacts how you digest food. If you're like I see this a lot again, like because I work with a lot of people with eating disorder, disordered eating backgrounds, a lot of foods they're afraid of because of the calories or the sugar they'll have a response to, like they'll get bloated from. But if we can kind of work on that fear and work on, you know, kind of their relationship with food, they don't, you know, and it's more of like a visceral kind of like response, you know, because they're so stressed out when they're eating it or when they're, you know, exposed to it or nervous about it, whatever, it leads to kind of this reaction, you know, because your body's like, whoa, like what's going on? We're stressed out right now.
I remember, I think you and I talked about this before too, because we both have past histories with eating disorders. My big thing was like not eating protein because there were so many calories in such a small amount. You know what I mean? Which makes it, there isn't, but there is, you know, you have such a small portion. You're like, holy cow, 90 calories is 1 ounce. And it's like this, you know what I mean? Whereas I
Yeah.
will bowl.
When you only think about calories, it like it just a lot of foods become scary, right? That aren't lettuce. Like, yeah. No, I definitely relate to that. And I think too, like people with that background and like people that I mean just bodybuilding in general, like a lot of times like we need some more stomach acid support because of the diet history, because of the amount of protein that we consume. You know, and you know, different things like, you know, not chewing your food can lead to low stomach acid. So little things that like people don't think about, but like have a trickle down effect because stomach acid is what helps us break down our food. And it what's what tells the body to release digestive enzymes, which help you further break down that food. So again, like it just goes back to like, you're not just what you eat, you're what you absorb. And we want to work on supporting that absorption process.
I'm a big fan of those super papaya digestive enzymes, little chewables. I don't know if you are familiar with those at all. Those are pretty good. I wanted to ask you about so you know, you shouldn't be taking like I mean, I don't, people have to take them, so I don't want to say that they shouldn't, but can you talk a little bit about protein pump inhibitors and you know, those types of things. Like if you had acid reflux, that's usually what is suggested. What are some other things that maybe you need to look at if you're having acid reflux?
Yeah, a lot of times acid reflux is because like that sphincter isn't working properly. So you're getting, you know, re reflux, you know, and it's uncomfortable. And I mean, a lot of times people just slap you on a PPI. The issue with PPIs is they can deplete you of micronutrients. And, you know, again, like it might just be kind of like a band-aid solution. I have seen like people that have like underlying infections, like H. pylori, for example, like struggling with the reflux or the GERD. So looking at kind of like getting to the root cause, like looking at like some testing as far as like what's going on, like is there an infection here? Looking at like maybe it's actually like low stomach acid that we're dealing with, which can cause that same kind of reaction. So there's a, if you look up online, there's like a baking soda test. It's like not that reliable, but like maybe can give you some indication. If you have low stomach acid, so you could look that up. But yeah, and then sometimes too, even just like I've helped people kind of wean off of it just with working on the lifestyle piece of it, right? Like if we lower how much coffee you're having, some of the acidic foods that are common triggers for that reflux, maybe kind of support you with some like herbs. Like DGL is an herb that I like. It's like it's licorice, essentially. And it can have like a soothing effect while you're kind of weaning off on the PPI. But yeah, that's.
Yeah, I think like I've had issues in the past with acid reflux, and I ended up switching to a low acid coffee, and it pretty much solved everything. So I
Yeah, a lot of times, or it's like a histamine sensitivity, like you and I have talked about that before, that can cause that those kind of symptoms. So yeah, I think like if you are somebody, like just maybe dig a little deeper,
Yeah, what is like what would be a histamine sensitivity for people listening? Like
So histamines are foods like alcohol, anything like fermented is a histamine. So sauerkraut, kimchi, some cheeses, deli meat, tomatoes, like spinach. There's you can look up like a histamine. There's like a bunch of foods, but some people, again, like depending on what's going on, might be having some histamine reactions. And a lot of times a histamine reaction is going to be allergy-like symptoms is a big kind of flag. So like runny nose, itchiness, like skin stuff, the reflux, like I was saying, is sometimes a symptom. Those that it can sometimes be an indicator that you might be reacting to those foods, especially if I said all those foods and you look at your food diary and you're like, oh shit, I eat like a ton of deli meat and sauerkraut or, whatever.
It's funny though, because like people are like, oh, you should have like these probiotic foods to help with digestion, but yet it can cause a histamine reaction too for some
For
people.
some, yeah. So that's where it's like, okay, like we can give general advice, but it may not be appropriate for you depending on where you're at, in kind of your journey.
Yeah, that's really, I mean, it's just important because you can't really make blanket statements, and there's always outliers, and which goes back to advocating for yourself, right? This isn't working for me. I tried what you said. And if somebody is insistent on that, then you need to, try another avenue because, it's possible that certain things aren't going to work out well for you because you're having a different response, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. What else? What did we kind of talked about sleep and stress a little bit. I don't know. I mean, I think that's really, really important.
Yeah, it really is so important. Like just going back to that like fight or flight and like supporting your body. Meal spacing is another one that I feel is important. So like having meals like every like roughly 3 to 4 hours apart. Like I see a lot of people running into issues when they're like cramming meals too close together
Yeah.
or grazing all day or fasting all day and then eating all their food at night. And
Yeah.
it's because you're just not giving the digestive system time to work. Like you're not giving it time to sweep food through. So especially like with like physique, like bodybuilding, like, you're eating like more frequently and sometimes you miss a meal and then it all gets messed up or people intermittent fasting too long, stuff like that.
Yeah, I wanted to mention fasting, and also along with the acid reflux thing, I wanted to say another thing is having that last meal before bed and having that, before you lay down. And that was something that a doctor had initially said to me when we were trying to figure out what the problem was. I didn't really like the doctor though. He told me that I probably shouldn't be lifting heavy because that would bear down a lot on
On
my
your stomach. Yeah, no.
chest. And I was like, I'm not like deadlifting 500 pounds, eyes bulging with a belt.
Yeah, like
Like,
pushing my guts against my belt or like what? Yeah.
I know, I didn't know what he was imagining. He was like, "Well, you said you lift heavy." I was like, "Yeah, heavy enough for the rep range to hit failure." Like, what?
Yeah.
Oh, so terrible. But that was a thing that I was probably having a meal like close too close to bedtime as well, and then laying down, and it's not digested out of your stomach. It can come up. So, I mean, that's a big thing. This is one of my issues that I have with fasting. One, I see women doing it a lot in order to try to lose weight, and they think it's magical, and it's obviously just a calorie deficit. I just think it can be really difficult to get the nutrients that you need in a small window, and you end up missing out. And then, like you said too, you can perpetuate digestive problems. And I would say even eating disorders, because you like have a window in order to eat and then you can't eat anymore, which can mess with someone who has a previous eating disorder history and perpetuate that. But yeah, cramming meals in. I had this with a client who was working in healthcare, and she wasn't given enough breaks, and then she'd have to cram in like three meals within about 5 hours after work, and it was just like, and she was trying to put on size, and it was just a nightmare, you know?
Why? Yeah, that's where I see like a lot of like guys too, like bodybuilding, like running into issues too, is like just
Yeah.
the constant like pushing like food, you know?
Yeah. I think that's probably the hardest thing about professional bodybuilding, is the overfeeding that has to happen in order to create the tissue. Yeah, for sure. We talked about water, diversifying your diet, spacing meals. That was a good one. Chewing food, sleep. Oh, exercise. Oh, and this was one I wanted to ask you about or talk about. So, in the past, it was always a myth, like, and there's a difference, right? Between exercise, like heavy exercise, and like walking. But people would be like, oh, don't exercise after eating a meal because that will turn to fat. And now we know, like,
Yeah.
I know Stan Efferding talks about this a lot with his vertical diet, about taking 10-minute walks after meals. So this helps with digestion, and it prevents that insulin spike from happening. Can you explain some of that a little bit, Sarah?
Yeah, so I think like post meal walks are just good just to I think I find them really beneficial for that insulin sensitivity piece. Like it just, you're getting some movement after a meal, so it kind of helps your, muscle cells and cells just kind of uptick that glucose. And then digestion too. I think just movement in general. Like I think a lot of people are just so sedentary. So this isn't like a power walk. This is not like something stressful. It's just like some movement after a meal just to kind of help like with just kind of again like kind of moving things through.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and I mean, that's kind of the thing too, because a question people often ask, how do I, like, how soon before training should I get a meal in? And you definitely don't want to go training on a heavy, like, full stomach.
Yeah, because I mean, what happens when you eat, right? Is like, that blood gets kind of diverted to your digestive tract. Like, that's where your body is going. Like, you're in more of that parasympathetic rest and digest kind of state. And then you're asking your body to like switch on to the sympathetic fight or flight to go lift some weights or go for a run or whatever. So then what happens is like that food, well, now it's, not getting broken down like, it was. Or you're just not going to feel so hot, right? Like with kind of like a belly kind of full of food and kind of sloshing around. So I think you got to play with it because I mean, how big of a meal are you having? Is it a light snack? But I usually say like at least like 30 minutes, 45 minutes before training for like a lighter kind of snack kind of thing. Maybe an hour and a half, for a bigger meal, an hour, something like that.
Yeah. And then I think another thing that people need to really evaluate is foods that they think are upsetting their stomach, and think about what they really are. Because, like, someone might say, well, gluten really bothers me, but it's like, junk food probably really bothers you. So it could be a bigger picture than just saying, yes, there's gluten in something or there's dairy in something. But if you eat a Pop-Tart along with your regular Whole Foods diet, does it bother you? Or is it the fact that you only ate two Pop-Tarts or three Pop-Tarts and now you feel like shit?
Yeah, or like, oh, avocado bothers me, but it's like when you're having it with mounds of cheese and, like a margarita, right? Like, like let's like kind of look at what else is going on here.
Yeah, I always used to think like pizza bothered me, but I think it was because I always ate too much of it. I'm like, oh, I can eat a couple slices of pizza and a salad and feel fine. So
And or like I said, was saying before, like, are you afraid of it? Like, is that like, is it like a fear food kind of thing?
yeah, the mind has so much impact on, and we've talked about this before with different studies that they've talked about when things are placebo, and they tell somebody that this is what you're taking in and how your body is going to respond, and it actually does. So your mind has a lot of power over that. So I don't know. I think to recap, just like being very calm when you're taking in food, in general, being a little bit less stressed is going to help with your digestion. And then, yeah, I mean, all these things we said, we touched on a lot of really, I think, important stuff.
A lot of it comes down to the habits and like the low-hanging fruit.
Yeah. Like it might, I think people want to diagnose them having like this huge problem, and which is like fitness as well. Oh, there must be something wrong with me. That's why I can't lose weight. And it's like, no, you just have to put effort into probably five things. Sorry.
And there sometimes is something underlying, and if I can plug something real quick, so I made a guide. If you go to fortify-health.com, you'll see under products, there's a free guide on prerequisites before you go into a gut protocol. So this is before you spend money on testing, before you take all the probiotics and the digestive enzymes, download this guide because it's going to kind of break down some of the things we talked about and a little bit more, breaks down some common symptoms, signs that you need to work on your gut health. And check those boxes consistently for a month or two. And then let's come back to like, okay, like, do we need, something further?
I mean, consistency with a good protocol is the main thing. Again, like it's the same with fitness as well. Something didn't work because it probably could have worked if you had kept going with it, but you quit or went back to old habits or whatever it is. So, yeah, it just takes work. I think like a lot of things, if you really want solutions, it's going to take some effort.
Yeah, God dang it, right?
Yep, absolutely. All right. Well, Sarah, you and I were talking earlier about some of our goals for this year, and I think we had both mentioned a little bit about being present.
Yes.
To be more present. We're both like, get everything done, think about the future type people. So, yeah. And we're still trying to figure out how to do that. But if anybody has suggestions about things that they are doing to be more present and more mindful on a daily basis, beyond like, I don't know, like I know some of the things are like being grateful and pinpointing things that you're grateful for every day. But I could use some tips. So send them our way.
Feel free, send them.
We'd love to hear. All right. Well, thanks everybody for listening and watching to another episode of the Women's Fittest. This was a good one, Sarah. You are very knowledgeable at this, and I appreciate you.
Thank you for having me. Hope this helps you guys.
Yeah, for sure. You can find Sarah on Instagram at Sarah Ford. Oh my gosh, I get this wrong every
No,
time.
that was right. At Sarah Ford Bishop.
Sarah Ford Bishop. It's your email that I always pull up as Sarah Bishop Fitness, which is that your website as well?
So new website is, so I just at the beginning of December, Meredith, my friend Meredith Pacci and I started a new business together, kind of joint coaching business. So it's Fortify Health is our new company. So the website is fortify-health.com, and you can find all our social media stuff there too.
Okay, I'll have to get
Or on
those.
my page, you'll find it.
I'll have to get those new links from you then so that I can post them in the show notes so people can find
Perfect.
them. And that free guide too, which is awesome.
Yeah, I'll send that to you.
Yeah. And Sarah has a ton of posts on her Instagram. Every time we talk about something, I know that you've done several posts about it. So you're constantly researching and updating what's new in all of these fields and posting it on your Instagram. And I love that too. So give her a follow, search through her stuff, learn, grow, all those things. Anyways, you guys, you can find me on Instagram at BuffCake22. Follow us at The Women's Fittest. You can find this on my YouTube at BuffCake22. Happy New Year. And remember that healthy looks different on everybody. Have a great day.